Welcome to Polycast, an official podcast of Poulton Civilization Site.
Daniel Quick.
Makalua.
Imran Siddiqui.
Hey, Madeline.
With guest co-host, Rob.
Who's this girl talking? I don't remember her. Oh, wait.
We have a girl on this thing?
Still?
Still? Actually, that's the proper question. Still? Welcome to Polycast, the official podcast of Poulton Civilization Site. I am Imran Siddiqui. Imran Siddiqui in the forums, joined by Dan Q.
Hello, yes, Imran. Did you have to think about your name for a moment there?
Yeah, are you sure you're Imran?
I wanted to think about whether I wanted to put the episode number in.
Oh, then you realized you still didn't know what the episode number was after a few moments, so you went with your name?
No, I did, because I have it up there on my little menu.
So what is the episode number, then?
36.
Yay! Cookie for you!
Can I go on?
Can you even start? I don't know.
No, you can't.
I am joined, also, by Makalua.
Doped up on cold medicines. Yay!
Hey! And also... our evil twin, or good twin, is it? Ra.
So, Mackie, did you want to mention the name of the cold medicine you're taking? Maybe we could get them sponsor the show. That'd be great.
No.
Oh. We are missing Kelly. What the hell is her...
She loves you, too,
All right. We're also missing Kelly... K-Mad Candy, because obviously she can't get up in time.
No, she knew that you were actually going to be on this episode, so you scared her away. Good job.
All right.
You're scaring away girls. I wouldn't hear me yelling woohoo about that.
That or Dan forgot to buy her some M&Ms. I don't know.
Which staff member is best at Civ? I have two words for you. Not me.
Okay.
Not me either.
It's also not me.
Oh, you're not bad. You're much better than a lot of the other players.
I feel better, even though I usually lose. Then I think the games I've lost have usually had Dominate in them, so that would explain it.
Yeah. But again, in Civ 4, and for all those people that say they want exactly even starts, which I'm totally against, because I think Civ is a game of adapting, you can be the best player in the world and still get your butt kicked. So when you say who's the best, overall... I know I'm not the best. There are some players that are better. If you have Dominique next to you, you better start building right away. Or Krill. But they're not staff members, so.
So, Ra, who's better, you or Ming?
There's no contest there. Even Ming will admit that I'm better at MP than he is, because I've played more than he has.
Aha. And now it's recording.
Yeah, now you've got that.
Now it's official.
In the news, Sid Meier set to receive a Lifetime Achievement Award. On forum talk, slow, quote-unquote, Civilization IV versus fast, quote-unquote, Alpha Centauri when it comes to combat. At the research lab, 9 proposed tenets for Civ IV religions, patrolling to beef up the sentry system and tribal villages of the sea.
Here's what's been making news in the Civ community.
Apparently, Sid's going to get a Lifetime Achievement Award? What's that about?
What's Sid done?
I'm sure we're all against that.
It's a horrible idea. Shameful.
It's the Game Developers Choice Award.
Yes, to be held in February in San Francisco.
Apparently, the editors of Game of Sutra, there's that said again.
Yeah,
who are now newly in charge of award management, I don't know who they bumped off to get that, were working with an advisory committee who consisted of some big names, including Brian Reynolds of Big Huge Games, to pick those special award winners. So, Brian gave a little boost to his old boss there and, helped him out. That's nice that they can still be friends.
Yeah, yeah. And 2009, Lifetime Achievement Award to Brian Reynolds on the advisory committee. Sid! Oh!
Yeah.
Now, you know, there's also another interesting connection here between Sid and the Mario creator, Miyamoto. It was back in 1999 that Sid became the second person to be inducted into the Academy of Interactive Arts and Sciences Hall of Fame. And apparently, last year's winner of the Lifetime Achievement Award was, guess who?
Well, see, the thing in common is they're both awesome. This is why they keep getting awards.
And they're both Japanese. I mean...
No, but...
I'm saying that Sid has been one of our industry's greatest role models for more than 25 years, creating fun and intelligent games for a diverse public long before it was popular. Yes, because 25 years ago, nobody wanted fun and intelligent games. Well, we wanted unfun and crappy ones.
No, it's just that if you did play computer games 25 years ago, you were a complete and total nerd.
As
some
opposed to now?
Still are. Some of us still are, but it's now publicly acceptable to play games. You can say that I play computer games now, and people don't look at you like...
No, but they still talk about you behind your back. You know, some things never change.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, Pong wasn't intellectual?
Fun, yes. Intellectual...
There were some comments from Billy Thatcher, who I think this is... If we were going to sum up Sid, try to, in a sentence... Billy Thatcher says that Sid is one of the few people who can make games that are accessible enough for casual gamers, but deep enough for hardcore gamers.
Dead silence.
No, it's true, though. The earlier games, before they got so complex, my mom could pick it up for a couple of hours and be able to play and enjoy it, while I was the one sitting there playing it for hours and hours, having them, one more turn. So it's true, even back then.
Oh, but is Civ 4 evolved past that? I mean, do you think the casual player could just step into Civ 4 and play it?
Probably not.
Oh, God, no.
That's why we have Civ Red, right?
It's like, you know, Dan is waiting for someone to say, no! I don't think any of us are going to disagree. Or at least all that, not that strongly at any rate. Because, you know, we've all played Civ games and probably some other Sid Meier games as well. I think it's amazing that he can go through so many different genres. I think that's one of the big things, I guess, that being in a Civ-focused site, we don't really discuss all that much on forums or whatnot, but, you know, that he's done a Civil War game that was fairly innovative in the way it actually worked in Gettysburg. And, you know, he's done things like Pirates, which melded, like, all sorts of genres together. And things like that, and I guess advancing each of those genres in a different way. I think each of that shows just how kind of creative and innovative Sid has been in his games and what he's brought to the industry.
And again, there's silence because what else is there to say? You want us to disagree with that as well?
How could you disagree with that? Yeah.
Exactly. Which means one thing.
Next topic?
Move on to the next.
Moving on.
Got news? Email news@apolton.net or send a private message to Dan Q, Locutus, Grandpa Troll, or one of the other news editors.
This is Forum Talk, where we investigate hot Civ issues in the forums. Slow Civ 4 versus fast Alpha Centauri. This Igavacitip says that since Alpha Centauri was released, it's the only game he's played on a regular basis. He tried other 4X games, but it was never quite the match for Alpha Centauri. But last fall, he purchased a new system, which had Vista on it, and he couldn't get Alpha Centauri to run, which will lead me to a semi-related question to some of my fellow co-hosts later on. So he tried Civ 4 with both expansions as he was quote-unquote forced into it.
Bend his arm.
Damn it. And, quote, liked it a lot. I actually experienced the one more turn syndrome in a big way for the first time in many, many years, unquote. Yay. But at least for his playing style, he said, he has found a significant, quote-unquote, drawback, that the combat system is too difficult for the attacker and, as a result, slows down the game. Why? This person argues that combat relies too heavily on siege and arguably later on air warfare, where you have to wear down a city's defenses to actually capture it, and it would take several turns to capture a city even with a powerful attacking force, but that's not the case in Alpha Centauri. Interestingly, he's looking to the modding community for a modding solution to Civ 4 as opposed to asking that the game be overhauled, looking for a blitz mod for Civ 4 that would provide the opportunity for a Civ 4 game that favors the attacker rather than the defender. Some of his suggestions include providing all melee and infantry units with a 25% advantage for attacking cities, providing all units with a minus 20% defensive penalty, and allowing units to use the road networks of enemy territories, adding that this is, quote, really needed, unquote. How do we spell no again? Is that still an N followed by O?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. As far as I'm concerned, if you want a game like this, I suppose there might be a modder out there who might do that for you, but I think you're just better off, instead of waiting for this mod to come around, just pick up a real-time strategy game and enjoy.
And let's ignore the fact that the defender usually has the advantage anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, what a surprise.
Gee, I have my city stocked full of anti-aircraft and stuff, and oh, you think I have too much of an advantage? Well, duh.
Let's see, you're going to need a really large attack force because you're going to be attacking, and it's a decision that you make when and where to attack, and you're attacking on someone's home turf. So, yeah.
You think they're going to defend that a little bit?
Yeah, just a tad.
And they actually had to tweak the game to minimize the number of bombers you could put in cities just so you couldn't do that.
I know, I figured that out the other day, and I was like, wait, no, my stacks of bomber death.
I think we're all in agreement on this one. Damn, we need some controversies.
Amazing. He's right!
Well, I don't think I can make a fair comparison, because believe it or not, I hate to admit, I've never played Alpha Centauri.
Oh, sorry. For shame.
Alpha Centauri is actually my favorite Civ-ish game.
Really?
Yep. I prefer it to all the other Civs, including Civ 4 and Civ 2. Civ 4 has taken some aspects of Alpha Centauri that I liked that Civ 3 didn't, but, I mean, I still prefer... You know, I played Alpha Centauri probably far more than any other Civ game, including Civ 2, so...
You see, Raw, Imran can only stand losing so much on pre-settlers in Civ 4. Oh. Also in forum talk, how could a Civ 5 be better than a Civ 4? Earlier this month, Lancer started a thread saying that he wouldn't want the job of making Civ 5, for Civ 4 is too good. And even more specifically, what could Firaxis possibly do to improve on this game that the modders can't do now? He accompanies the thread in discussion with a poll that asks, how much better a game could Civ 5 be than Civ 4? And the results at present are quite close. Somewhat better, don't expect too much, is just edging a lot. There's plenty they could do, 22 to 20 votes. And not better, just different, is 16, out of a total of 67 votes.
There are now 70 votes, Dan.
What? Liar.
Quick, let me go back and edit that. What do we want the results to be on this one? Well, there's always room for improvement. I mean, when we saw Civ 2 originally, we thought, oh, this is great. How could they possibly make this better? With Civ 3, it was easy to say, how can they make this better? But for Civ 4, there's going to be something. It's just a matter of how creative they get. I mean, what areas do people think needs the most improvement? Are people satisfied with combat so far, or they still think that needs to be tweaked? I mean, a few more units would never hurt. That never hurts.
Well, I'm happy enough with the combat system.
I think so.
Who actually uses it?
Oh, yes!
I mean, they'll probably make some changes to it, but it probably won't be that major. I mean, it seems to be working out fine.
Now that we have Blake's AI in there, I think the combat's just fine. Thank you.
Well, yeah, especially after that, but just hope whatever new combat system they do, they include having spearmen destroy a battleship. Just, you know, once every, you know, 1,000 times or something, just so we can have those posts on our forums.
And just remind the rest of us how really old we are? No, thank you.
So no one's interested in seeing the old Call to Power micro battles?
No.
Oh, no. It was like, hey, you want to be like Heroes of Might and Magic, huh?
So everybody agrees it should be reasonably simplified, like it is now. We don't want it more complex.
Yeah, I mean, Civ games are already long enough.
Yeah, especially for those of us that play MP.
I'm sure that would be great, you know. Add a few more hours, all right.
Two guys are fighting, no one else in the world is fighting. I'll go have a smoke while these guys have 16 battles. Yeah. I'll be back in about 3 hours.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're either going to lengthen an already long game, or you're going to have to take out significant elements and just leave combat the way it is.
Especially for multiplayer. I think they were real successful in improving it to make it with the stack attacks and the rock, paper, scissor aspect. Like I said, it's the defender has the advantage, but if you sit back and defend, you're going to be in trouble. Right, Maki?
Yeah.
As she sent about 16 ships in my direction.
What ships? I have no ships.
Well, it's a lot more fun now that you can't see what's on the ships. When it first came out, you could see what was on the ship. What they were coming was like, whoa.
Oh, I better do this now.
If you could see what was on the ships, it was usually too late.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, my biggest problem with the combat is, you know, you're playing for 4 or 5 hours, I have to stop to have a smoke, I go out to the garage to have a smoke, and I come back and I find 3 people have declared war on me and I've lost 2 cities. And I'm going, hey, what happened? So smoking killed.
I will say that Yaroslav has a good point on combat, though, or a good suggestion that he wants to see something, he hasn't thought it all the way through, but something about logistics. Maybe have some sort of supply line thing that can be drawn on the map and you have to defend it, supply points. I mean, I think that'd be kind of interesting, just to have, you know, some sort of supply line. Of course, the attacker has to defend and provide strategies for the defender, whether or not you want to try to cut off the supply line, do a little flanking maneuver and go around and cut off their supply line. I think that is an interesting concept that may be, you know, added or could be added.
I think it would have to be very simple, though, because to make that a real complex thing, I mean, if you think defenders have the advantage now, wait till you add supply lines and you can't support your attack troops in the field.
Yeah, that's going into being a total war simulator type of thing more than civilization, almost.
The easiest way to do it would create a supply unit that you have to carry with you, and as the longer you're in the field, the strength of your supply units are going down. So you wouldn't really have to micromanage it, you just have to make sure you have enough supplies.
Yeah. Yeah, like in Rise of Nations, you had the supply wagon.
I didn't play that game either.
Good grief.
Was I the mod for that forum? I don't know.
Ignorance is bliss.
Oh.
I think I played the demo of that game.
I couldn't get it to run.
I think that improvements that definitely can be made are in like the, you know, economic sphere, trading-wise and things of that nature. Such as, you know, trade routes, like actual trade routes and that can be pirated somewhat in I guess it's somewhat similar to a Call to Power.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, yeah.
But maybe a little bit, how shall I say, more elegant than that, than Call to Power's was, and simply putting a unit in the middle would, you know, cut off the entire thing and whatnot. But I think that they could improve the trade and the economy especially, because, you know, right now it's very, very abstract. And maybe a bit more on types of actual trade routes that you can see, actual lines of trade and whatnot. Perhaps also, you can also move resources around the map, such as, I think, some people pointed out on the thread that we were talking about, like maybe food should be able to be moved within the empire. Maybe have, you know, trade routes among your own cities to allow that sort of thing. That's just one thing they can probably do.
As long as it's not unlimited like rail movement used to be.
Yeah.
It would have to be restricted somehow for game balance, like distance from city and the existence, you know, how good your road network or your network across the water was in order to be able to move that. Plus, some goods would also be able to be more easily moved than others. It's just, I like the idea. It's just that how do we get it so it's balanced without being overly complicated, which I guess we could apply to pretty well any, almost any argument about putting it in. But I like the idea.
I like that idea of moving the resources around in the empire because it is kind of silly sometimes when, you know, cities just aren't going to be adequate yet they're in the middle of the empire. You don't think we could send a train full of food there? I mean, not that hard of a concept.
Yeah.
If you did something like if you're either road or rail connected, depending on distance, you could have a plus or minus a certain number, like this city's 7 squares away. We can get +3 of one of the resources. You can determine which one and just do 1, 2, 3 plus. You know, something simple like that, because if there's much more micromanagement in the cities, a lot of people won't use it. Turn on the governor and let it roll, and then it's just another thing that's happening in the background.
Yeah, the ability with great merchants, for example, to settle them and add +1 food per turn to city, that's not enough. And corporations, Soupy said, 369 said that corporations were an interesting start for internal management of your empire's economy, which could tie into your resources and being able to move them around. But he says they're not ultimately the answer. And really, even if you like corporations, which I don't necessarily, actually, they're late in the game.
Well, yeah, and they can, in a new Civ, they can also, you know, refine corporations. You know, this is the first time they put it in, so.
Yeah, we need something in the early game so that, say, if you have your main city, which has hit its happiness cap, but you could still produce extra food, but you could send that to your newer cities to get them to grow faster, because they would have done that.
Exactly.
But we don't want it to be like the old food caravans from Civ 2.
Oh, no, I do not want to be managing caravan units.
No.
But they could be somewhat abstracted caravans in that, A, food will take X amount of days to reach whatever city, and basically, I guess you just have a trade route, but it would just take that amount of time for it to reach there and actually deposit down there or whatnot.
Well, that limits the micromanagement somewhat.
Yeah.
No, I really want to see Xin Yu take 37 minutes in an MP game to move 147 caravans in one turn.
But I think definitely the economy and trade do have to be overhauled in any Civ 5. I was recommending that for a Civ 4 expansion pack.
Yeah, save something for 5.
Yeah. And we were talking about SMAG, and there are other things in SMAG that you can add into Civ 5 that they didn't add into Civ 4. They can make the UN a little bit better. I mean, that's taken from SMAG, but it's not as well done as it was in SMAG.
Where you could bribe other people. Vote for me!
You could allow the person to pick among better things to vote on, all that sort of thing. You can also do what in SMAC was kind of more of a 3D terrain type thing, which included rainfall and all sorts of stuff on various tiles based on topography, I guess would be the word. It allowed for interesting strategies on bombarding. If you're higher up on a certain plane, then you know you would have a better chance of doing some damage. You know, things like that could be brought in to effect.
Yeah, I saw that suggestion, but I'd rather not, but please continue.
And maybe to make it even more better, we can bring in William Shatner to do the lines instead of Leonard Nimoy.
No. I love him, but no.
Come on, that would be great.
As some other suggestions in this thread, I think we're all agree that the economic system definitely needs some assistance. Flem said that they'd like to see more civics. No. More is not better.
Yeah, maybe you're reworking of civics.
Yeah, not more.
Like to see more religions or sects within the main religions? No.
That's what mods are for.
More options for terrain improvement and altering. I think we've talked about that before. Can I get a no?
Can't do it till the end game, so what's the point?
Yeah, I want to be able to blow up that mountain. Come on.
True.
I wouldn't mind seeing a bridge option where you could put a lot of resources into building that bridge out to the island or have it more impact in the combat, but that takes it more to a tactical game where you're blowing up bridges every night and they're rebuilding them the next day. That might be extreme, but something like that. I mean, when you've got that island 2 squares off your coast, it would be nice to be able to build a bridge there. But if so, I'd like to see it be real expensive.
I'll agree with that.
Or you have one of those continents where you've got sort of a little bay in the side, sort of like San Francisco, and you want to build a bridge across so you don't have to go all the way around.
Give something for those bombers.
Yeah.
Heraclitus talked about, how about religions with traits that they acquired during gameplay according to your actions and decisions? Wow, let's try to balance that.
I wouldn't mind if all the different religions had some different capabilities. I think that would be humorous. Or tie it back to some of the events. I know, if we want to be really politically correct here, it could be really amusing.
Yeah, I don't think Firaxis would want to get involved in that. I mean, you think there's a heated discussion about what pluses and minuses civs get. Ooh.
See, I wouldn't mind seeing that, but I do realize the PC cost would be just...
staggering.
Unbelievable.
Archives also suggests, let the player play on multiple maps. You could do that with Civ 2, right? And test was a Test of Time that introduced that, or was that always in Civ 2?
Yep. I think that was just in Test of Time.
He says also, especially in combination with the spherical map. I like the idea of multiple maps.
Spherical map. Has he played Civ?
yeah.
I wonder sometimes.
Yeah, it's like, you know, if you take your mouse wheel and you keep going
out. Yeah, use that little big button on the side and foosh. Shiny.
You know, some people want to keep on going past the future tech or whatnot. You can get what Smack had and have water cities.
No.
But if you want to do that.
Yeah, some...
Wasn't there water cities in Call of Power 2?
Yes.
Oh, that's right, yes.
Yes, and space cities.
That was just the first one, right?
Yeah. And
I didn't play that long.
In a related thread, which is if there was one thing you could bring from an earlier version of Civ, JKP1187 talks about bring back the feature from Smack where a player could name landmarks for all to see, and also from Smack the economic victory. Well, that's the first one is done and expanded, and the second one is done in CivRev.
CivRev. What CivRev is not Civ 5?
No, it's not, but...
Stay on topic, Dan.
Yeah. The thing is, some things that are done, looking to be done in CivRev, could have excellent ability into a Civ 5 as well. So it's kind of interesting, kind of a testing ground for some of these ideas.
I'm hoping that some of the stuff that they have in CivRev will help a Civ 5, especially in terms of, say, interface and things like that. There have been things said that, you know, they had to kind of think about their interface a little bit more because, you know, on a console you can't really have what you have in Civ 4. You know, maybe that will help, and a few other things. We'll see what they knew or whatnot.
Yeah. As a final point to this poll, then, if you were going to vote in this poll, if you haven't already...
I just did.
You just did. And did you vote banana because you didn't understand the question? Is that...
Yes. No, I voted for the second option, which, you know, they can do more, but don't expect too much.
That's exactly what I voted for.
I voted option 3.
I didn't vote.
I was the one that made it 70 votes.
You have no right to complain, then.
If you do not participate in the democratic process, then...
Yeah, shut up.
Well, I remember the democratic process after Civ 2, and they actually listened to us, and man, did that make an awful game.
Yeah, don't listen to us. Don't listen to us. Please don't listen to us.
Listen to us to a degree, but don't let it... I mean, when you have a 30-page discussion on one small topic, the odds are no good's going to come from it, because they will over-design it, and it will be unplayable.
So, the summary is, there's plenty of things they could do for Civ 5. They have not run out of things to do.
Yeah.
I want to see more Civ.
Yeah.
Come on into the research lab where we explore concepts that are not in Civ yet, but might be in the future.
New capabilities for religion. This Conquest. Oh, great username, actually. He's looking for capabilities for each religion that are randomly assigned, thinking PC. That's politically correct. As opposed to specific capabilities, such as crusaders and jihadists, where when a religion is founded, one of the capabilities below, which he calls his nine tenets, is randomly assigned to that religion. Capability is known if you have at least one city with that religion. The known and assigned capabilities are presented on the religion screen. Only one capability at a time, that of the state religion, may be in effect for civilization. We have got piety, blessed justice, beautification, evangelism, enlightenment, divine inspiration, devout community, tithing of the faithful, and chosen people.
I don't know.
I don't mind giving the religions extra capabilities, but I want them to be set no matter how un-PC it is. Because I think if you randomly assign it, then you're just going for a religion. I think it would be fun if a religion had a certain trait and you're actually beelining to that religion because you want that trait.
And in the true Canadian compromising fashion, what you're talking about there, Raw, that sounds like a good default option, but if you want the random, then you could have that too.
Oh, we'd make it random.
Well, instead of random, I'd rather have you choose one. Say you, select a religion or whatever. You have to make a choice on which tenant you want to assign to that religion. And even if you switch back to it, that tenant will always remain in play for that religion for you.
I have no problems with that. Just something to spice that up a little bit. Because I think the religion just is a bit too generic in the game. And I think it was a good addition, but I think they could do more with it.
Yeah, Ra wants to see, you founded Judaism. You get more money now.
Something like that, but not quite as blatant as that. Even back in the Civ 2 days, what was the government type where you build fanatics?
Fanaticism.
Oh, okay. When you get old, your memory gets a little thin.
I knew something about Civ that Ra didn't.
But no, but something like that. Like I said, I know it wouldn't be PC acceptable, but for realism of the game, I'd really like to see something like that.
Yeah, we can mod it in, I'm sure. I don't know if someone already has.
Unfortunately, in the MP community, you want to stay pretty vanilla because everybody's got to have the same version and everything, and it just makes things easier. People might not understand the changes for the mod, so it's to an advantage to somebody that's played it before. So, you have to have some consistency there for the MP community, and most of my games are MP, so I'm a little biased. Duh.
You?
No. Within these tenets, PD for one, all cities with the state religion have -1 unhappy.
Now, see, there needs to be a balance to that.
Yes, I was about to say.
Yeah, balance is big.
Blessed Justice, that's your Crusader, Jihadist, Holy Warriors, etc. Each melee or gunpowder unit has a 10% chance of being a Holy Warrior, where Holy Warriors get a free combat promotion.
I have no problems with concepts like that. They could be worked out, but balance is big.
Yeah. The alternate suggestion is that each melee or gunpowder unit created during a Golden Age is a Holy Warrior. No, I don't like that one.
That's a little too powerful. Because you could totally switch your entire empire over to turning out units, and you'd have an entire army of Holy Warriors.
Exactly. Just as if this is too powerful, perhaps an additional requirement of running organized religion or theocracy, or being a religious civic could be added. No, now we're just complicating it unnecessarily. You're having all these qualifications, well, you have this tenet, but only if you run this civic, or only if you have this trait, or only. No.
And if you're in theocracy, you're probably getting that promotion anyway, so, okay.
Yeah.
Beautification gives you +20% culture in cities with the religion.
Let's see, your temples and monasteries are already giving you more culture in those cities. I don't know, it seems to be a lot of replication of something that's already there to a degree.
Yeah. Evangelism, the state religion is 50% more likely to spread internally and externally, but cities with the religion are 50% less likely to accept an additional religion. I really do not like that second one at all. If you don't want more than your state religion in there, then run theocracy. But my goodness sakes, why wouldn't you want more religions to spread? Because of the happiness and the culture that can benefit from that. This Enlightenment one, wow. Missionary units do not require open borders and cannot be destroyed. No. It also says their movement is 3 times rather than 2x. Outside cultural borders, visibility is 1 tile, and support is required to prevent abuse. No. No, you're thinking too much. Stop it. Stop it right now.
Think of three.
Tenet number 6, Divine Inspiration. Cities with the religion gain +2 Great Prophet points. Look, Great Prophets are already generally useless, first of all, so why would I choose that? But second of all, nah.
Great Prophets are useless? I want to play you an MP again.
You would so roll over him.
As you would, I'm sure.
Yes.
Seeing as I've never played multiplayer, I don't think that's going to matter whether you use Great Prophets or not, so I really don't see the point. Or devote community villages, hamlets, grow 50% faster? No. Cathedrals reduce city maintenance by 10%? No. Well, my favorite one, though, was the chosen people. More likely to We Love the King? Oh, for crying out loud. Forget it. Nope.
Do we need more if We Love the King Day?
What does it do now?
Yes.
That, what is it? Reduce the maintenance of touch, and that's about it? Dead silence.
Yeah.
We all understand that mechanic.
Exactly.
Patrolling beefed up sentry system. Black Prince argues that, as is, the sentry command for units is useful in its own way, but sometimes you don't have enough units to blanket cover the area you want to watch, which is actually a good thing for balance. So therefore, he's looking for a command for a patrol route definition tool. You choose the squares you want to patrol, and the unit does that automatically at the beginning of every turn from now on.
I love that concept. I've been screaming for it for years.
It does sound good.
I'm actually surprised they didn't include it.
I especially need that at sea so I don't have to carpet my coastline with submarines to keep an eye out for invading fleets. Because, I mean, seriously.
Oh, no, I agree with you 100%. I would like to have patrol routes for my airplanes. I have one airplane in each city that just goes on a route, so at least I cover everything. Where if you just put an extra button, like a sentry button, where it automatically covers, you know, six squares around you. Okay, we're done. Next. Without it being too tedious to set up or run.
Yep. And should the patrolling unit catch sight of an enemy unit, the patrol would be woken up like a sentry, so that it pops up requiring your attention, but otherwise it just continues on its merry way. Makes sense.
I wouldn't even have to see it move. If it just highlighted the area it was supposed to have traveled in, would be fine by me. And just a little notice on the screen. Hey, I found something. Look at it.
Inbound fleet of doom.
Yeah. Look to your west. You're in deep crap.
Thank you for automatically censoring that for us.
No problem.
The Chicago Cubs suggests an alternative. Instead of that, extended visibility range, where when you hit the sentry key, the unit maintains its visibility range for the next two turns. As long as the unit hasn't moved on the third turn, the visibility increases by one. I won't continue reading because, wow, whoa, no. I mean, yes, I would love that for me, but for nobody else. Mine only.
You're precious.
Yes, precious.
Precious.
Are we done with sentries? I really want to talk about villages as a sea.
Under the sea.
Under the sea.
I wanted to sing that too.
Go ahead, Mackie. Everyone sing.
No. Not with this cold.
Join me. We'll have a duet. We never had a duet before.
No.
The Alpha Centauri equivalent to tribal villages were unity pods with, as Heraclitus puts it, the neat little difference was that they were placed in sea tiles as well as land ones. This encouraged exploration of the sea, even in the late game, and he wants to bring this into the Civ series. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Go forth with that.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
The premise being one of your ships spots an unidentified vessel in the distance, and from it can choose to investigate further. If it does, it would trigger a series of events.
I'd go either way on that one, as long as they don't make it so complex that it's something. But yeah, a little bonus at sea wouldn't be bad, but I could go either way on that one. It doesn't really thrill me.
I like it because it gives me a reason to go exploring out in the sea.
Under the sea.
Yes.
Because really, other than finding the other continents right now, there's no incentive for you to clear off the map.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing out there anymore.
I like the idea when I read it and the specifics that Clytus was providing. I always like great ideas, but it's always nice to see when those ideas are put forward by people and they actually suggest how it could be implemented. And that's what got me not just liking it, but really even loving the idea, which was, as scouts and explorers can always, you know, obtain positive and possibly even more bountiful results from exploring villages as opposed to any other units. It recommends caravels be analogous to scouts and explorers in this respect. And something interesting beyond that was that the privateers could provide an even greater advantage for, quote, they are even more free from certain restraints of the law and are not recognized by others as being agents of an empire, unquote. Ooh. I'm not sure about the privateers part necessarily, although I like the idea. I just think about gameplay balance, but I like that caravels would be a reason for that. Now, I know caravels already have an advantage because early on it can carry certain units parts of the world that other ships can't quite go yet, and we've got limitations on that. I like that idea. Also suggests, you know, some of the events that you could get, like your ships could gain navigation, one or two promotions, reveal the location of a new tribal village or capture a foreign ship and you get a small amount of gold. As Mackie says, make you want to go out and explore more. Nothing that's anything revolutionary. Just taking the concept of what we have already, which are tribal villages on land, and bringing them to the sea.
Find tribal island girls, spread disease.
That would be because of the bad food that they served you, right? At dinner.
Yes, that's correct. Yes.
Call in today.
In North America, the number is 301-637-7659. That's 301-637-POLY. In Europe, 44-121-288-7659. That's 44-121-288-POLY.
You can Skype us at the Polycast or email us at polycast@polton.net.
For more information on Polycast, our sibling show, Modcast,
log on to the series' official website at polycast.polton.net.
We're now into the second episode of the second season, and the new Polycast panel has still yet to all meet at the same time.
He'll talk in a high register.
Hey, this is Kelly!
Don't do that.
Oh, wait.
Hey, this is Kelly.
Oh, no.
Don't make me come over there and hurt you in her place.
Digging yourself deeper and deeper.
It's okay. I don't play multiplayer.
There was some concern about the makeup of the panel with Wouter no longer being a regular co-host. We're never going to be able to meet everyone's expectations. For example, last episode, Wouter wanted to know why we didn't kick off Imran instead.
I've been asking that myself. Oh, I'll do Modcast.
Yeah, that'll work.
Bra, this is your first time guest co-hosting. Since you haven't listened to previous episodes, you probably don't know this question is coming. So that's good. Would you ever agree to do this show again?
Yeah, if it's ever more tightly produced, yes, I'd be more than happy to do the show again.
Uh-oh. I guess that means a no.
I'll tell you what, when they get the new patch out for Civ 4, I'll do another one. That should give me at least a year's notice. Oh. Well, it was a fun experience. I'd probably do it again.
Now, Dan, we'll put you on the official list of victims.
Yes.
For all you people out there that are listening, there are MP games on Saturday night. Post your interest. All people are welcome, even Dan. He won't last long, but he's welcome.
And if you mention Polycast when you join the game, you'll get a preferred location and start.
No.
Yes, you don't start as the Japanese.
Oh, God. Reminds me. Stupid Japan. Dang it.
In Civ 4.
Well, yes, in Civ 4. Just to clarify. You've been listening to episode 36 of Polycast. I am Makalua, who has doped up way too much on cold medicines. That was Ra, inviting you to come in multiplayer and get pwned. You all know Dan, and Imran was actually here, although maybe he got another phone call?
Uh-huh, I'm popular, yo.
So when's the court date been reset?
That was only one time, man. I've not been called in for since then.
Hey, that was too much information, so let's all run now. Before.
I'm just picturing Mackie running and then having her head snapped back by the fact that she's still connected to her computer.
Oh.
With the cold medicine, that could actually happen today.
That's why I don't play MP with headphones.
I'm going out for a smoke. What?
I overvote you, or outvote you, or something.
If you can't get the terminology right, then I'm afraid it's not going to work, so...
Have we moved on yet?
But that's what makes MP so much funner.
Funner?
More fun, okay? You can edit that out.
Record date January 19th, 2008. Soundtrack courtesy Civilization 4 Warlords and Beyond the Sword. Copyright 2007, Apolton Civilization site at apolton.net.